Welcome to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone, founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, and before we begin, I just want to thank Kathy and Dale and Jane for allowing us to be back here on the air at WISP. Holy Spirit Radio. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to be here with them for many years, involved in radiothons and now Finding God in Prison. And the focus of our show is to really discuss the challenges of inmate reentry after incarceration, as well as life beyond recovery from substance abuse or drug addiction or alcoholism. And today, my friends, we're going to be talking to two gentlemen who are recently released from prison and who are working in the WINGS program on the outside of prison walls and doing very, very well in business, family life, and community service, working hard. And we're going to be talking to two gentlemen again to basically motivate those who are out there and need a good program like the WINGS program to help them to find success in reentry. You know, 7 out of 10 men coming out of prison don't succeed in reentry, and there are many reasons for that. And we're going to be taking a look at those reasons because we need to really find a strategy for success so that these men can come home and be an asset to their children, their wives, their families, their homes, and the communities as well. I want to just tell you that we have some men who have graduated from the WINGS program recently. And the WINGS program, you know, is a inmate reentry and recovery program in the city of Philadelphia. Here we've been to 8 prisons, 100 schools, many churches, and also on television, radio segments of the program. I just want to say good morning to our men out there who are listening to the program, and to just extend a sincere thank you for being in the program. And you know, for the men who graduated this week, really, Eric Pringle and Javier Rodriguez and Kevin Kimball and Frankie Aviles and also Rob Johnson. I want to thank you guys for being in the program, as well as Anthony Meadows. The guys did a great job, and you know, the WINGS program is a 50-hour mentoring program in which they choose to be part of this program. They don't have to do it. It's all up to them, and it's their decision. So it's a 10-week, and Walls runs for 20 sessions. On the outside, it's a 5-month program in which we conduct this program for men who are getting clean and sober, and men who are recently released from prison itself. So I just want to thank you guys for being in the program. And actually, we're going to get started right now with our first interview. And Edgar is on the line. Edgar, good morning. Are you with us?
Yes, good morning, Joe.
Edgar, good morning. God bless you, my friend, and thanks for calling in this morning. I really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks, God. God bless you, too.
Very good. Very good. My friends, Edgar and I became friends while he was incarcerated, and he joined our program in Philadelphia and made a decision to really stay with the WINGS program. So, Edgar, how old are you?
42 years old.
42 years old. And since you've been in the WINGS program, can you tell us a little bit about why you chose to stay with the program?
The reason I chose the program was, one, you mentioned God was first. Second, I can feel the peace in you and that God is using you to help me. So by that, you know, it was, I've been through a lot of programs, but when I met you, you know, I felt this peace and honesty and sincerity and the wisdom that you had, that you were sharing with me. And like, you know, like I felt it, really did felt it. So, you know, when I met you, it opened another door to my life.
Right.
You know,
okay.
My life, you know, I tried so many times to do the right thing, but I see that I can do it by myself, and I couldn't have confidence in other people. But with you, Joe, I feel confident.
Well, that's great. And one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that we always talk about in the week's program is what God says to do and what he says not to do. And, you know, Edgar, you and I have talked a lot about that as well as, you know, other things. But what, you know, what has that philosophy, lining up with that philosophy, what has... what impact has it had on your daily life in you know, on a weekly basis?
Well, impact, the impact that I've seen, that putting God first in everything is showing me that what I always wanted is coming to reality. Like with my children and trying to stay out of jail and trying to do the right thing, it's been going much better than before.
Okay. What are some of the challenges that all men have when they come out of prison? What are some of the greatest challenges that a guy would have when he comes out of prison for our listeners?
Oh, the challenges is so many. First challenge is one is to try to get stabilized. Try to, you know, find a roof, trying to get work, trying to get back to your family, your kids, trying to get that bond. That unity again.
Okay, very good. Now, in the Wings program, one of the things we do is write letters of apology, letters of forgiveness, letters of appreciation, thank you letters to family and friends. And so, you know, while you were incarcerated, how many letters did you get out to, you know, people who were important to you to try to mend those broken relationships in the area of family?
Basically, two, really, my two daughters.
Right.
That was my main thing, my two daughters, because, you know, me being incarcerated and not be there in their lives was affected them mentally in their lives.
Okay. And how are your relationships going right now with your daughters?
Honestly, thanks God, much better than before. Much better than before, because my small child, she didn't want, had nothing to do with me. But, you know, lately, we've been getting a little bond and God been opening doors for us to communicate and see each other face to face.
Okay. And since you've been home, are you working?
Yes. Not, I don't have a steady job, but I'm content.
Okay.
You know, I got a roof under my head. Thanks to the program. Thanks, God. Thanks you, Joe, and thanks, Jose, to help me out.
Okay, and that's a great story in itself. One of the great challenges, ladies and gentlemen, is for men to find a place to live. Many men, you know, have, you know, nowhere to go. And, in fact, one of the guys said, you know, to me last year, he said, Joe, you have to find me a place to live. I don't want to live on the streets or under a bridge. And so please, you know, help me to find a place. So, you know, one of the areas we go to in the Wings program is outside of prison walls is Drexel University on Saturdays. And Edgar had come down to Drexel University many times. And one of the other gentlemen in the program, Jose, who has a rental property, was able to accommodate him. And one of the things we're working on is, where is Edgar going to live? And Jose, right in the room there, took care of that need, where he had a rental property and a room for rent, and basically, you know, gave him a room to stay with, you know, no rent, just exchanging some work detail each and every week. So some light work around the house in exchange for rent is one way we were able to accommodate Edgar for the residence, which is a powerful story in itself. God took care of that probably within 5 minutes of introducing that problem on the whiteboard. So that's
Amen.
That's a great thing. Now, Edgar, when did you first, you know, have a challenge of being incarcerated? How old were you?
My first time?
Yes.
When I got incarcerated, I believe I was 16 years old. No, 17.
17. Okay, so now you're 42. So basically 25 years. And how many times have you been incarcerated? Roughly, what'd you say?
I've been incarcerated, honestly, Lots of time, more than 10 times.
More than 10 times. Okay, so what's different this time? Why are you going to succeed this time? What's different in your life now?
I put God involved.
Okay.
That's the difference.
Okay.
Me putting God involved and believing that I can make it this time is, and the whole, through my Lord Jesus Christ, it's totally different. When I got incarcerated, I started reading the Bible, and it took me years and years and to understand it. And I thank the Creator, the Most High, who created the heavens and the earth, that opened my mind to see that I can do it, but I can't do it by myself. I need His help automatically. That's the truth.
Okay. All right. So putting God first into your life and basically starting to understand His Word. And what are the priorities in the WINGS program, Edgar, for our listeners, the priority list that we go through all the time?
God is first, then me, then my family, then the community, and then my leisure time.
Okay.
So God is always first. And I believe that's true, because every time I don't put God involved in my plans, it doesn't go right.
Right. Very good. Very good. And, you know, for our listeners out there, you know, we always talk about priorities, because many times people don't succeed in reentry because their priorities are misaligned. So our focus is God, and then you, and then family, then work, then community service, and then hobbies and sports. And it's that way so that the stronger you are, the more you can do for your wife and kids. The stronger
Amen.
You are, the more you can do for the community. And God calls us to do that when He says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. And he lays that out in many areas in the Word of God, which we'll be talking about. So, Edgar, now you have a new priority list. Maybe for the first time in your life, a rearrangement of the most important things to get done first, and you have God at the top of your list. Amen. It's a powerful commitment you've made. And how much joy or peace do you have in your life today versus, you know, years ago when you were, you know, in a position where you didn't have God in your life?
I have more peace now than back then, and comfort. Hmm. Even though when I go through my trials and tribulations in life or obstacles, it's totally different now. You know, even though if I go through pain or whatever it is, I'm still standing, and I'm not taking another different direction like I used to do back then. I'm still going forward, and I thank God for that.
Okay, great. And how has really God's Word impacted your decision-making in what we call the 168, the seven-day work week, which has 24 hours a day, 168 hours in 1 week? We plan 1 week at a time in the WINGS program, moving forward just 1 week at a time in preparation for, you know, a good year. How has God's Word impacted your day-to-day decision-making?
It impacted me real good. It's the best education I ever could have. It showed me more of how to be more responsible, how to see things differently, instead of being angry at the world or the people. Try to understand what's going on in the world instead of destroying myself or destroying God's will in my life. Is showing me how to try to build my life. And one thing that I learned was the whole key is love. If I can love and have faith and belief, things can come out to reality.
Very good. And, you know, you mentioned a great word, the word love. Mother Teresa said the greatest disease in the world is a lack of love. And of course, we know God says the second greatest commandment is to love one another. And so
Amen.
This is a powerful thing, the word you mentioned. And I know that we've shared a lot of love, both inside prison and outside prison, through God's Word, through God. You know, we were able to become brothers in Christ. And to move forward in making your plan of action, to help you in business, family life, and community service. And really, you know, I admire you, and I commend you for the commitment you've made to the program and to God, more importantly, and your ability to convey the message of your faith, how, you know, life has changed for you. And, you know, go ahead.
I believe it was God. God is in control. He put us together.
Right.
Because, you know, you helped me very, very, and I mean very, a lot. Not me asking you, you helped me a lot with transpasses, support. Even times when I was hungry, you didn't even know I was hungry, and you brought me something to eat. So I believe God put that in my heart.
Yep. And, you know, I like what you said, you know, about God being in control. And I think, you know, he's no question about it. There are no coincidences in my life. They're God incidences, and God brings, you know, people together. Some days you need help, and other times you offer help to other people. But in Luke 1, verse 37, it says, "For all things are possible with God." And so, you know, everything is possible. And here we have really, you know, a tremendous conversion experience through prison. Is it fair to say that you found God in prison? You found your relationship with God in prison?
I can't. I really found him out of prison. But while I was in prison, I got to know him more because I had more time to speak to him and to read.
Okay. And one of the guys in my program a couple years ago told me, he said, "You know what, Joe? On the outside, men aren't giving God any time, very little time, if any at all. So God is, you know, bringing men here to prison to get to know him. And they're not leaving until they get their minds right." And so, you know, one thing we know in prison, you have a lot of time to get to know God, to read his word, and to, you have a choice. You can or you cannot. It's up to you. And so he doesn't force himself on anyone. But he's waiting for us, you know, to offer his love. It's there for us if we want it, and it's an unlimited amount. It's an unbelievable thing. So putting time in prison meant for you to, you've been able to grow in faith by putting more time, building a relationship. And
amen.
from a trust standpoint, is it fair to say that you trust God more now than ever, and where else do you put your trust, if anywhere?
Well, my trust is always on God. Always on God. No matter, even if the situation is looking ugly, like when the times when I came home, it came a moment that I ended up sticking to the street for like 4 or 5 days before, and I still trusted God. You know, I trusted him because he's the creator. He's everything. I'm still standing here. I'm 42 years old, and when I was in the street, I went through so much. I went through drugs, and I've been shot. I went through so much. That's another story right there. It's going to take long. And I'm still standing, so my trust is always on God, no matter what the situation looks like. I could be in the sea by myself in a boat, and I'm still trusting him that he's going to save me. He can put me from here to Pluto if he wants. Because he's the creator. Look at the world. How big it is. Who created it? God.
That's great.
So he does the impossible. So my trust is always on him.
That's
no matter what.
That's terrific, Edgar. And it's right in line with God's word, which says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and then he shall direct your path. And I believe he is directing your path because, you know, in the last 3 months that I know you, your verbiage, your phraseology has been very focused on, you know, God's word and listening to what he says. And your trust level, you know, is really a tremendous thing. We've talked about it privately, and it's just a blessing to run into men who are you know, growing in their heart for God, you know, because that's how God won me. He didn't win me logically. You know, it wasn't logical to leave corporate America and a six-figure income as a pilot instructor many years ago. He won my heart. And when he won my heart, my love for God became greater than my love for aviation, and I was able to lay down that career. And that's what it is. You know, for yourself and other men, you have to lay down those things that feel good. You know, if it's the streets, if it's drugs, if it's making money, if it's women, if it's, you know, whatever, we've got to basically get rid of that and replace it with God and allow Him to do what He wants to do. And my friends, if you're listening in for the first time, you're listening to Joe Montone, your host. This is Finding God in Prison. This is our second broadcast. We're talking with Edgar Morales, recently discharged. And then basically our focus for today's program is the challenges of inmate reentry after incarceration. And so Edgar's been kind enough to join us today on the program amidst his busy schedule and trying to succeed in reentry. Aligned with that, Edgar, is Proverbs 27:17, which says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Proverbs 27:17. And that's really important because basically, you know, we're sharpening your skills here today, but you will go on today to someone else and help them to sharpen their skills. And that's the way, you know, God wants it. He wants us to be there for other people and to help to spread the faith, share the love of God, the greatest gift you can ever give or receive from another person. And so, you know, Amen. It's just a delight to talk to you on the phone. And, you know, I know that we'll be getting together on Saturdays at Drexel. We were together at the recovery home at 5031 Frankfort Avenue on Tuesday. We had a terrific session with 13 men. And, you know, what did you think about that session, by the way? What is your opinion on the session? You know, these guys are, you know, most of them have addiction issues, and a lot of them have been incarcerated now on the outside, but they're struggling with addiction. Has that ever been a challenge for you?
Yes, it was. Yes, it is. And what I learned that God has shown me, it's not really the substance. It's what we, it's our enemy. The enemy is what we can't see. It comes with a big force. And that's the challenge right there. When the enemy comes, he comes and he's very deceitful. He manipulates the mind. He put the world like is yours, or in ways that is, oh man, it's so kind of like hard to kind of explain it. Through the addiction, it's something real spiritual. If anybody has a program or a drug program, they have to get connected with the spirituality. Because physically, you can be set free. Mentally, you can be good and be on track. But spiritually, if you're bonded, you can be sober for a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. You might end up back into the addiction again if you're not spiritually free.
Right. And I agree with you because, you know, 83% of the guys coming out of recovery from addiction actually fall down and go back into recovery later on. We've had many, many guys like that. And beyond that, we've had six men who died of an overdose to heroin in the last 3 years. So, you know, what you say is really true. It's really that commitment to God. And the way I look at it is, you know, the more you want to please God, you know, the more, the less you want to disappoint him, you know, the greater chance you have of success in recovery. And in Ephesians 5, verses 6 to 20, it talks about us, Edgar, that we have a duty to live in the light. And here's what it says here in God's Word as we talk about addiction. "Let no one deceive you with an empty argument, for because of these things the wrath of God is coming upon the disobedient. So do not be associated with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for light produces every kind of goodness and righteousness and truth. Try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness, rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention the things done by them in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." And so I just lay that out because, again, many times people will have an impact on your life in a negative way. They will convince you with an empty argument of why you should do something. And God is telling you, do not be associated with them. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And then to do that. And so that's where we're going, is to gain a greater commitment to Christ and the Father, so that we can, please them instead of disappoint them. I know for many years I disappointed God. Even when I went to church on Sundays growing up, I walked the other way and did what he said not to do. But today I try my best to be lined up the best that I can, and I'm aware that, you can please or disappoint, God himself. And we want to be very conscious of that. So, Edgar, how are you doing this morning? How are you feeling being here on the radio with us?
Great. I would like to come back again and speak.
Okay.
Right by now, I'm with Jose.
Okay.
Trying to take care of some of his things that he has to take care of on his property.
Okay.
Talking to you at the same time.
Is Jose with you?
Yes.
Okay, he's right there now. He's ready to come?
Jose, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, all right. Edgar, first I want to thank you, my friend. I love you. God bless you. And I want the best for you. You know that? So I want you to keep staying in the Wings program just the way you've been. And we just keep doing what we're doing. And it's going to be a year from now, we're going to be having cheesesteaks in South Philadelphia on 9th Street. And talking about, what we've been doing in the last 18 months. It's a powerful thing to be, working with God and his ways, trying to help men to do the same. And really, we're becoming more fishers of men. And so I want to thank you for coming on the radio today. And God bless you. Have a great day. We're going to bring on Jose. And just whenever he's ready, you can bring him right on. Thank you, Edgar. God bless.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. And thanks, God. Thank you. God bless you, too.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You, too.
Joe, good morning. How are you? And God bless you.
Good morning, Jose. And God bless you as well. Thanks for coming on the air. And
My pleasure.
Yeah. My friends out there who are listening, I want to thank you for listening in again. You're listening to your host, Joe Montone. We're speaking here at WISP Holy Spirit Radio, 1570 AM and 1420 AM, WCOJ and WISP. And it's a privilege and a pleasure to be here on the radio. I want to thank Dale and Jane and Kathy for having me back on the air. And all of our friends who are listening, I want to thank you for tuning in to Finding God in Prison. This is our second broadcast, and we were talking for 20 minutes with Edgar Morales, recently discharged several months ago, who has been in the Wings program and doing well, making progress, solving problems, filling voids, and really helping to grow in faith, hope, and love through God's Word. And right now we have a second gentleman, Jose Roman, has joined us. Jose, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you. You're very welcome.
And I want to thank you for being in the program as well.
Yes.
We first met inside one of the Philadelphia facilities. And, I just want to give you a chance to tell our listeners that, what is it that has kept you in the Wings program, and how have you benefited from being in the Wings program?
Well, first of all, when I go to your meetings, you're very inspirational, very motivational. And one of the things that I like is that you use the word of God, and it's peaceful. When I go to the meeting, it's peaceful. And I always like the analogy. I will never forget your one day when I was at your meeting, and that word, I will never forget that word. It was on a Saturday. It's the word peace. You got to have peace in your life. If you don't have peace in your life, Joe, you don't have anything, and that's up to me. We can have the riches that we have, but we don't have peace, we don't have anything, because everywhere you go, something is going to be always out of place.
Right. And that's it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's a great word, and I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah.
Because we talk a lot about peace in our program and joy. And the reason is, my friends who are listening out there, is because The Lord said many times when he came upon the apostles, peace be with you, peace be upon you. See, he wants us to have that peace. And if you don't have peace, you have something else. It's not that you have nothing, but we know that everybody's mind is either filled with peace and joy, or it may have anxiety, depression, anger, jealousy, bitterness, hatred, all kinds of things that are counterproductive in our lives. So the goal in the Wings program is to give you as much peace and as much joy as we can. And so that's a great point, Edgar. And you know I can talk for a long time. So, I want to thank you for being in the program for having your wife, your lovely wife, joining us as well down at Drexel University.
Yeah.
We've been making progress. And, of course, when we were at the, inside prison walls, we had the opportunity to work together as well each and every each Monday and Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And we really had a lot of great discussions. I know we did. And,
I like your approach because you really take interest in us. You really, individualize. We go to the meetings and then you say, okay, Jose, Edgar, Kevin, how you doing? How was this week? What's going on? And, we need that. We need that support because, like Edgar said, there's many times that there are things in life that we cannot do by ourselves. Another thing that motivated me about with your program is you use the analogy of a plane. You're the pilot, and you got to keep that plane in control. You got to keep it flying, and that's a good analogy of life because, when you come out here, you don't have a job, you don't have anything. Besides that, you have to be in the programs 2 or 3 days a week, and it's difficult, and the system doesn't understand that. They really don't help you when you come out, at least to get a job or set up a program to really, really support these guys that really need it. That's why you say that 7 out of 10 fail and go back and fail in the reentry program. They really, really need that support. And a lot of them, they get into the plane, either they're co-pilots, but they can't handle the pressure, they can't handle the plane, they can't handle the instruments, and that's why they fail and crash again.
Right. And that's a great thing to point out, that do have a lot of aviation analogies because we try to help the men to become more exact and to be, as Jose said, to become a captain.
We become a captain.
Yeah,
right.
There are no co-pilots in the Wings program.
Right.
And by that I mean, for our listeners, we're looking for everybody to embrace their captainship, and that means embracing responsibility.
Yeah.
So,
and in the list of priorities, God comes first, and then we have to help ourselves first. Even though myself sounds selfish, but we have to look out for ourselves first in order to help our family, Joe. I really enjoy that from you.
What?
You have said a lot of things that are, really, at 57 years old that I am, I'm really, really motivated. We have to help ourselves first and then help our family. If we don't do that, how can we help our family?
Exactly. And as you said, honestly, it sounds like it might be selfish. I grew up always family first, but the key is really that God is first so we can embrace His ways. And then we come second. And the stronger we are, the more you can do for your wife and children, your grandchildren. And that really is the key to being a captain, because if you're not the captain, you're looking to other people to solve your problems or satisfy your needs or fill your voids. And, and that really impedes progress. So, our captainship is on the line. For yourself, Jose, since you've been out, since you've come home, what progress have you made as a result of being in the Wings program?
Well, I'm more at peace with myself. I started going to church. I'm going to therapy. I feel happy. I am working. I just got a job with the Inquirer as a paper carrier up at Bristol. I enjoy that. And then, just with Edgar, I'm helping Edgar out, and he's helping me out. That brings me satisfaction, knowing that he's doing well and someday he'll be on his own. And basically, just taking it easy, staying busy, practicing my piano, my trumpet, enjoying my music, trying to stay happy and at peace, Joe, basically.
Okay, very good.
Doing things that, inner things.
Right. Now, there's one thing also you hadn't mentioned is that you did get married, correct?
Yes. Yes, I just got married to a beautiful lady. She's a magistrate in Cuba. She's a criminal judge in Cuba.
Okay.
She's a beautiful lady, and I'm very happy for that, yes.
Right. And we know, you know, we know how important it is because God says a man will leave his mother and father and join his wife. And, you know, so, you know, as you look at the priority list, you're really lining up with what God says to do in so many ways. It's powerful.
Oh, yeah.
It really is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and and how is everything else going for you in terms of family life now?
Beautiful, beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Yeah, I just spoke to my granddaughter yesterday for a little while, and that brings me joy. Yeah, but other than that, everything is happy. And like I told you, Joe, I want to stay in contact with you. You know, periodically I want to stop by and say hello, because I know you're a great, great person who has a good heart and can help a lot of people out there overcome their obstacles and difficulties. We need people like you, Joe.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. And, you know, God has led me into our work. And we have some other people who have worked with us in the Wings program as well. When you were on the inside, did you have a an official visit with Miss Anderson?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yes.
And can you speak about that and the importance of having that element of the Wings program?
Yeah, that meeting was pretty productive and pretty structured, because she emphasizes one of the things that I like for the meeting is she emphasizes on your credentials, your potentials, not on your weaknesses. She asked me, did you go to school? For how long did you go to school? What would you like to do? You know, what can we do for you? What programs? What would you like to do? And in the prison, they don't take the time for that. They really don't, Joe. You may see the social worker, but they just do it just to check up on your medicine or whatever. They really don't have, and I'm sorry to say it, but they don't have a lot of help. And they need people from the outside to go in and really help these guys, because they really, really need it. There's a lot of innocent people out there. That is not fair.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we just want to, there's no question, everybody does the best that they can, but for the Wings program, you know, our philosophy is to give you an extra level of support with, you know, Miss Anderson joining us as a as a professional counselor with a master's degree, who gives us time for problem solving, strategic planning, maybe an ear to listen to some problems, relationship issues, and as you said, working on credentials or your positives.
She concentrated. Everybody was happy when we would go back to the block. We were very happy. Oh, what did you say? What did she say? Oh, she. She says, we're going to do this, and, you know, our credentials, and, you know, what we have, and, you know, what we have to offer. We were very happy with her interview.
That's great. That's awesome. And we just know that God has blessed us with Miss Anderson, Sharon Anderson, joining us on our program.
Tell us, say hello. Give her my best when you see her.
I will do that. And along with that, you know, we talk about, you know, family relationships while we're in prison. So we give the men paper, pens, envelopes, stamps, driver's manuals, CDL manuals. How many letters did you get? Were you able to get out, if any, during
the stay? Be honest with you, Joe, I wrote two.
Okay.
Two.
And what type letters were they? Were they?
It was a thank you letter to my sister, my daughter. And my brother-in-law, they were very, very, very helpful and supportive.
Right.
Because, you know, I had a lot of responsibilities, and they helped me with all these responsibilities.
Yeah. Oh, and that's great. And for our listeners out there, just so that they understand it, when we're inside, one of the things we can do in preparation for success and reentry is to begin writing letters of apology to mend broken relationships, or letters of forgiveness, or letters of thanks or appreciation letters, which is what you did to show appreciation for the people who are standing by you while you're in that short term inside for whatever. But those letters went out, and that's one of the focuses in the 20 weeks, 20 sessions, the 10 weeks that we're together inside, that we actually write one letter periodically or one letter a week, whatever. Each man has a different situation. So, and did it benefit your relationships with your brother-in-law and sister?
Oh, yeah, greatly, yes.
Oh, that's great.
They were very, very supportive, you know, in everything, Joe, in everything. They were very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a beautiful relationship. Now, even though we had a nice relationship, but that strengthened the relationship. My situation strengthened the relationship.
That's awesome. And that's what it was designed to do. That's why we give you that support. You know, the Wings program is a support program. You know, it's a program to help men to make changes in the practical changes in the 168 or the 7-day work week, and to make progress each and every week. And obviously, you've made a lot of progress while being with us. And you know, you bring to the table a lot, Jose. And I really look forward to you joining us on the radio in the future again.
Yeah, I'm really glad, you know, that I met you and that I went to these. And thanks to Juan, he was the one who told me about it, you know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. Yeah. Well, we're just going to move through the program for our listeners. It's 10:42, and we're moving through the program. You're listening to Finding God in Prison with your host, Joe Montone. We're talking with Jose Roman, who is speaking with us about the challenges and the successes in inmate reentry after incarceration.
It can be done. It can be done, guys. It can be done. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. And,
you know, take the hold of the plane and, you know, be the pilot.
Yeah, be the captain.
Don't be afraid. That's my message to you guys out there.
Yeah.
Don't give up. Don't give up.
And, Jose, while you're there, I want to read to you a letter. I just got in the mail this morning from one of the guys who was with us on the inside, Greg. And he says this. He says, "Dear Joe, this letter is to inform you that the judge denied my request to enter the recovery home. How, although he wouldn't allow me to enter into the program, he did in fact promise to parole me on my earned time, good time, which shouldn't be much longer. As you can see, I'm being housed here at a certain facility. I'm currently enrolled in a program that will allow me to earn about 9 credits from the Community College of Philadelphia. It's a 10-week course that, after completion of the course, a certain lawyer himself will petition the courts to release him so that he can attend classes at the actual college, and directly upon his release, he plans on entering the same recovery home." So he says, "So you can see, Joe, I still want to participate in the WINGS program. I just took the placement test today to see if I qualify to attend these classes on a college level. Hopefully, I passed. If so, they will be transferring me and in September, where I begin the 10-week course, which should sometime end sometime in December. If and when you receive this letter, I want you to let the guys that currently are attending the WINGS program on at a certain facility know that I asked about them, and he says to stick and stay in the program because it does work." That's what you're saying. So he says, "Joe, I want to thank you for everything, and I do look forward to seeing you in the near future, August 6, 2014. So I tell you that because it just confirms what you just said, that the program does work.
It works. It works, Joe.
It's all up to us. But, Jose, I want to thank you for joining us today, and it's been a privilege and a pleasure having you with us in the program and on the radio here at WISP, Holy Spirit Radio. And say hello to Lisette, and God bless you. And look forward to seeing you, you know, at Drexel University and talking with you on the phone.
Oh, yes, and God bless you too, Joe. And anything that I can do for you, always call me. We'll stay in touch, Joe. God bless you, and take care of yourself.
Thank you. Have a great day, and thanks again to Edgar, who's there listening, too.
Okay.
And,
God bless you.
Okay. God bless, guys. Take care now.
Take care.
We'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Yes.
Want to just for those listening, I want to, again, thank you for joining us. You're listening to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone. And that was Edgar Morales and Jose Roman, two of the gentlemen who have been recently released from one of the facilities in Philadelphia. And they were with me in the WINGS program, both inside and outside prison walls, and doing really wonderful things now.
and working hard to maintain, you know, their stability and credibility. And as you can hear them, they are really working through God's Word, using God's Word to help develop their character and their decision-making skills. And so that's just a blessing, having those men agree to come on the radio and join us. I want to share with you a letter from a woman who's also in the WINGS program but has no background of incarceration or addiction. This is a professional who really was lacking some time management skills, who really needed to get her life straight. And here's what she says. I was pointed in the direction of Joe Montone and the WINGS program by two of my friends, both who are graduates of the WINGS program. I didn't know much about the program outside of the fact that it was designed for individuals who are currently incarcerated or transitioning back into society. My friends encouraged me to reach out to Joe because they believed that he could help me carry out my personal desire of starting a nonprofit organization. It wasn't until I got to the meeting and began to listen to what was being said that I started to realize that I too can benefit from the WINGS program, despite not having the criminal background. I sat in the chair, listened to Joe, and realized that I had begun to enter a phase of stagnation, making no progress, a phase where I had too much idle time that I was doing absolutely nothing with, and I didn't even notice. As I listened to Joe explain the four basic principles, time management, balance spiritually, mentally, and physically, priorities in life, and the circle of influence, I smile because I realize that I am a mess. I realize that I am not as put together as I thought I was, and that there are many aspects of my life that could use some polishing so that I can reach my highest potential. Overall, I listened and realized that this program was not only for individuals connected to the prison system, this program was for those without that connection as well. This program was for me. I was able to identify more than one of my personal struggles and understand how these principles can help me in those areas. Time management and 168 hours of useful time each and every week was one of my biggest struggles. It was one of the first things I chose to work on. Everything that was talked about that day, from the ultimate goal of gaining peace and joy to strengthening my personal relationship with my daughter, which fell under life's priorities, family, opened my eyes to the opportunity to look at life from a different perspective. While I may not have the same experiences as some of the men and women within the prison system, I do share some of the same struggles. I have heard about the difference that this program has made in the lives of my friends, excuse me, and I look forward to the difference that it will make and has begun to make in mine. I'm excited about the change and growth to come. I look forward to gaining captainship of my life and receiving my wings. Signed, A Girl Ready to Fly. And that's just a beautiful letter that was sent to me this morning. Lauren, I want to thank you for being in the WINGS program. It's a blessing to have you there. And I just know you're going to be flying high, you know, with your business, family life, community service, your education. And this is a girl already with a master's degree who is doing terrific work, who comes from a wonderful family of counselors and accomplished counselors and great listeners who are doing work in Philadelphia. And a woman with no background in terms of being arrested or incarcerated, but who has a real passion to help people in that category. And so, you know, we were blessed to meet. Again, God brings like-minded people together. And I just know that, you know, Lauren's going to be doing some great work for us in the WINGS program in the future. And so we just pray for Lauren and for her daughter and for her goals and dreams. And whatever she may have in her heart, we pray that God will continue to nourish that and develop it, allowing it to flourish and blossom into just a beautiful life. And my friend, again, if you're just tuning in with us today, this is our second broadcast. I want to take my time right now to just thank again Dale and Jane for having us back on the air. We've been associated with WISP Holy Spirit Radio for a long time now. We've been great friends, and you can't say enough about the wonderful work we're doing here at Holy Spirit Radio, touching hearts and minds and really you know, helping people to spread the faith and share the faith and the love of God that comes through the radio waves. It's just a wonderful, you know, ministry that Dale and Jane have been working on for many years, and they've been blessed with many wonderful people, with Kathy here as the real, you know, the engine behind the radio station that puts so much together day to day on the air. So I want to thank Kathy for all the help she's given us on getting this show off the ground. And again, we have about 9 minutes to go here, my friends. I want to share with you a couple of things again about the Wings program. You know, we heard from Edgar and Jose, who called in, giving us some background on their challenges and successes in reentry. I want to share with you a couple of letters that have come my way from men who are in the Wings program inside right now, prison walls, who are, you know, really struggling day to day in different ways. But one of the topics we talk heavily about in one of the sessions is trust. Where do you place your trust? Who do you trust today? Are you a trustworthy individual? Has anyone ever broken the trust with you? How does it make you feel? And have you ever broken the trust with another person? Trust is really important. You know, in the Wings program, we talk about earning the trust. We measure that trust one conversation at a time. And we look at honesty, sincerity, respect, accountability, reliability, dependability. Those are the attributes that a person, that we all must have. And we must bring that to the table, and that we should expect that from our family, our friends, our co-workers, whoever we come in contact with, so that when you have those attributes, you basically have a trustworthy person. And we want to grow into that if we're lacking any of those areas. Well, these are some letters from some of the men about trust. And here's the first one. When I truly knew no better, I placed my trust in myself, never realizing how incomplete I was as an individual and as a man. I was given many opportunities to prove myself as being a stand-up guy, but 9 times out of 10, I failed due to my lack of understanding and acknowledgement of God Himself. When I realized my ability to earn, I began to delegate responsibilities to others. It was then that I learned the importance of placing my trust in others. Some fell short, some adhered to the call of responsibility. I learned the hard way through experience that if you give your best, you get the best. Okay, and I want to thank Dwayne for that letter, great letter, you know, about how he, you know, 9 out of 10 times he came up short and realized that he didn't have enough of God's Word and understanding of God Himself. And today, really, his letter writing inside is really terrific. Another gentleman writes, this, in my lifetime I have put my trust into God and family and friends and selling drugs to get money. There was a time when somebody broke their trust with me. It was a girlfriend of mine. When I got locked up, she told me she would be my support, like putting money on my books, coming to see me and stuff like that, only to find out that she was not a person to trust. She didn't put money on my books and didn't come to see me yet. Someone that I broke the trust with is my mother. When I was locked up, when I went back onto the street selling drugs and then got locked up again after I told her that I wouldn't do that. And so this is someone he broke the trust with. Am I a trustworthy individual? Yes, I am a trustworthy person. For example, when I started the Wings program, I told Joe that I would keep coming and will complete the program, and I have been coming ever since to make that what I call a trustworthy person. Right? Who do I trust today? I trust my Lord. Why? Because He can do no wrong in my eye. Another person I gave my trust to is Joe Montone from the Wings program, because since I met him, he has told me no wrong, and he's been helping me with my success in life, and that's a person that I can trust. So I appreciate that, Eugene, for you telling me that, and I have to work at that, my friends. We all do. And here's another gentleman who writes about the consequences of good and bad decisions. Consequences of good and bad decisions are these. The consequences of making good decisions can be extremely rewarding. Making a good decision at times under certain circumstances can be a life-altering experience. And making a life of good decisions can result in God giving you a lifetime of blessings. The consequences of making bad decisions can, under many circumstances, result in a fatality. Making bad decisions can, depending on the severity, break families up as well. The worst consequence of making bad decisions is living a lifetime of sin and can result in eternity of unbearable pain beyond human imagination. I want to thank Rob for that letter. And this is the reality, my friends. You know, when you have time to do in jail, we get the men involved with writing assignments on great conversations, great subject matter, great conversations, and it's powerful. So I want to thank the letters out there who have come in, the guys who have written those letters, and all of the men who are listening to our broadcast this morning. I want to thank Jose and Edgar again for calling in, and for Kathy for her assistance today in the program. We only have another 30 seconds, my friends. I want to thank you for listening to me. I'm Joe Montone, and you're listening to WISP and Finding God in Prison. It's been a privilege and a pleasure to be here this morning. I look forward to our next broadcast, whenever that may be. And again, just do the best you can. And just know one thing, that the Lord says the steps of a good man are in order. And that's not something we can do or not do. He's calling it as an order. So I pray that you will comply with that order and give the Lord all the best that you can. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Have a great day and God bless.
I saw my Lord this morning. In the morning sunrise, its golden glow came creeping and lighting up the world as it plays.